This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So it's interesting some mornings when we get together, right? So in the Episcopal tradition, we get a lot of Holy Scripture. And it's interesting because most Episcopalians are not super familiar with Holy Scripture. But yet on Sunday morning, we get a lot of Holy Scripture. We get the Old Testament reading, we get a Psalm, we get a New Testament reading often, most of the time, and we get a Gospel reading. So we're kind of covering the gamut. And ideally, these readings would have something in common, that there would be some sort of theme. And in the opening prayer that we say together in your service bulletin, it's called the Collect of the Day. Collect meaning a collection, right? We're collecting all of the prayers of the people who are present. It asks us, ideally, the collect would sort of bring that theme into focus. The collect today asks us not only to free us from the bondage of our sins, but to give us liberty. To give us liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior. To give us liberty. My oldest daughter, about a week ago, her Christmas present was to go on a cruise with a group of her friends. And they're all in their 20s. So I called it a booze cruise because it wasn't very expensive and it was out of New Orleans. But one of the things they didn't expect on this particular cruise ship was that it was all decorated with the theme of America. Americana around every corner. The floor was the American flag, eagles, bald eagles, and pictures and photos, and on statues, and presidents' faces all around. They even had like a fake Mount Rushmore on the wall at one point. And so, as young people are, they were a little overwhelmed. And I was like, well, they should have called it the Liberty Cruise. Because liberty in America, we understand that word in a way that many may not, but it is so much at the core of who we are. So when we hear this word to give us liberty, and for many of us, that is not a new word. But what does it mean to have liberty in Jesus Christ? What does it mean to have freedom and an abundant life in Jesus Christ? Well, looking at the scriptures today, we hear a common theme in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth and in the gospel reading, servanthood. Servanthood, to serve others. That there is somehow known in Jesus Christ a freedom to serve others. Now it's interesting because given our culture of individualism, and looking at Paul's point that the gospel imagines and envisions a freedom as the right of individuals, but not to do as individuals choose. Paul says that the freedom isn't so much that we get to choose what we want to do as individuals, but rather to relinquish, to give up those rights for the sake of others. Paul says, I was a Jew. I became as a Jew in order to win over the Jews. To those who were under the law, I became as one under the law so that I might win those. To outside of the law, I became the one who was outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak. In other words, Paul positioned himself and juxtaposed himself to those he was trying to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. To those who were beneath him in social status, rather than talking down to them, he met them where they were and lifted them up, just as we hear Jesus did with Simon's mother-in-law. He lifted them up. He joined them where they were. For those who were up high and lofty, he climbed a ladder up high and lofty to meet them where they were, to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. To those who were weak and sorrowful, he embodied the empathy that it takes to be weak and sorrowful, to meet them where they were, to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And to do all of that, there was a part of himself that he had to give up. Because as he says, I was not beneath the law. I was not weak. I was not outside of the law or even under the law. How many of you have ever heard of an IEP? If you're a teacher, you might know what an IEP is. And help me out here. I think it stands for Individual Educational Plan. Is that right? Okay, I'm getting lots of nods. We have lots of teachers here, by the way. So when I was thinking about this idea about met them where they were, I thought, think of everyone that you encounter as having their own IEP. That everyone you encounter, there's something about their being that is different from yours. And that to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the freedom in Jesus Christ, we have to meet them as an individual. We have to meet them with a plan. An individual plan. Now the challenge is, it's easy enough to avoid those who are different than us. Right? And culture more and more and more makes that possible. There are things called algorithms. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what the word algorithm means, but if you spend any time online, you don't even have to be on social media. Google has its own algorithms as well. If you spend any time online, over a while it reads what you're searching for and what you're enjoying. Like on TikTok, if I click like, I like that comedian. The next thing you know, all I'm getting are stand-up comedians. It's easy to get sent into a tunnel where you forget that there are very many other voices and ideas. So the world, as it grows in positive ways, we are also able to explore other people's ideas and thoughts, but the world itself teaches us that we don't really need to. Find your niche and stay there. Find your people and be happy there. And it's so easy to do that when I encounter something that is very outside of what I've been experiencing, it's almost a shock. Oh my God, I can't believe people believe that. But recognizing that on their end, there's a whole group of people who think and behave and want to be just like them. But Paul says we have to encounter people where they are, that is our job. And so when we think about this idea of servanthood and the idea of liberty and freedom, true Christian freedom, therefore, if we read what the scriptures tell us today, true Christian freedom expresses itself in service. True Christian freedom expresses itself in service. As Jesus encounters Simon's mother-in-law and he lifts her up, how often have we needed to be lifted up? And when we are lifted up, and we know what that feels like to be lifted up, how often then do we turn around and help to lift someone else? And then all of the community heard about this wonderful healing, and they all came, and Jesus was there all night healing the sick and the possessed with demons. And it's interesting because it sounds like from the reading that the entire town was either sick or possessed with demons. And they were gathered around the door, and he healed, and he cured, and the night came, and finally everybody went home. And when he was in the morning, and it was still very dark, and what did he do? He got up, and he went out to a deserted place, and then he prayed. And why? Because in service, if we don't replenish the giving, right, we have nothing left to give. One of the challenges, I would say, is in our culture of self-care, self-care becomes the goal. But Jesus tells us that self-care is only as good as the service it allows us to do. There are so many things out there that help us to rejuvenate, and the world says it's this culture of self-care. You have to take care of yourself, and yes, all of that is true. Jesus shows us that. Jesus gives us an example. He healed and cured, and he drew away to a quiet, deserted place to revive his soul, to gather energy from God. But in this, we hear that self-care is only as helpful as the strength that it gives us to return service. So we encounter Simon's mother-in-law. The first thing she does, it says, when the fever left her, is she began to serve them. Now, many would say that part of that was just her role in that time and place. But I also interpret it and hear it as that was her show of gratitude. I have been healed, you have healed me, and so now I turn to serve you. It's wonderful to feel healed. But we're called for that one step further, and that is to return the service to others. And then they encounter and they're like, Jesus, and he takes away. And this is the part that I really like. Simon and his companions, not only, they didn't look for him. That's not how this word is translated from the Greek. They use the word hunted. Now, looking and hunted are two different things. Hunted is intention. Right? I've never been on a hunting trip before, but I do know that the end goal is that you kill something. Hopefully something you can take home and eat. So underneath it is sort of this aggressive nature of this idea of hunted. So how many of you had needed something from somebody and you couldn't find them? Yep, yell down the hallway at the house. Hunted for him. And so they were hunting for him, and you can kind of imagine there's this level of anxiety and frustration. It's like, where the heck did he go? Does he not know that all of these people are here and they need him and they want to be healed? We don't have time to be looking for Jesus. And so when they found them, they said, everyone is searching for you. And Jesus said, you know what? We're moving on. So it was in that time of prayer and quiet. And I imagine, and I don't know, but I imagine that Jesus was like, oh God, I'm so exhausted. These people are so needy. But I think what we also hear is just like Paul is telling the people in Corinth, it's their turn. I've spent time here. I've healed many. And now it's their turn to carry it on. He's demanding by leaving and moving on that what they have received, they are now required to give to those who are in need. So Jesus says, look, we have to go on to neighboring towns because that is what I am called to do. People often say that if ministry, and that's what we're all called to do, is to ministry, to share the love of Jesus for others, to share the liberty and freedom that comes in the life of Jesus with others. That if all it were was to meet the needs of others, human beings never run out of need. There will always be need. And so Jesus says, I have healed and I have cured. And now it is their turn to address the needs of the others in their community. And when they get exhausted, I have set an example that it's okay to step away and to pray. But as Jesus comes out of his time of prayer, he's like, okay, on we go again. Because self-care is only as good as the strength that it gives us to serve. And he continued throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message and casting out demons. And we keep hearing this word of casting out demons, and it seems there were a lot of possessed people back in first century Palestine. And maybe it doesn't look like what we might think it looks like today, but there are a lot of people who are possessed with things of this world that we are called to liberate them from. And sometimes we ourselves need the liberating. So things we can learn from what we hear today in the Holy Scripture is that servanthood is how we show gratitude for the work of Jesus in our life. That hospitality is important. That it's hard, and I find this interesting, it's hard to serve the Lord because he went to Simon's house knowing that Simon's mother-in-law was sick. It's hard to serve others when you're worried about your own. Is it not? But Jesus right here gives us an example. I will take care of yours if you will follow me. So I have two questions to leave you with for this week. How are you going to serve God this week? What does that look like in your life? And just as importantly, how are you going to create space in your life to simply be with God? We all need to be filled. But as we are filled, we are also called to give. Amen.